Ladies and gentlemen, live from the backyard at Dan Wong's house inside of a tent that should have a car inside, but instead houses the boys. This is Footy Prime, the podcast, the auto edition, brought to you by this tent in Wonger's backyard that should have a car in it, but instead has the boys in it. Danny Dicchio is here, Craig Forrest, James Sharman, Brendan Dunlop, and of course, producer Dan Wong. On behalf of the whole gang here and the heater that we have in here that may light the place on fire, let's get this party
started.
Yep, it's the footy tent. I can't tell you how happy I am right now, sitting outside with a pint of beer, heat lamp in Wonga's back garden, under the stars, kind of, with you idiots. It's not the garage, perhaps, but there's something very... I love that sound. The pitter-patter of rain on the canvas.
And the Harley Davidson.
There'll be sirens soon as well.
There should be, yeah.
Welcome to the show, everyone.
Are you a camper, Shams?
Yeah, you know what? I am a camper. I have always been a camper, but I haven't camped this year. Last year, I camped and realized that I'm getting too old to camp as far as without a mattress because it's just too uncomfortable.
So you don't like to camp then?
Yeah, right. I don't like camping now. But I don't like my life, though. I love it.
I don't like camping. And
there's no way Dunny's a camper.
No chance.
No, I don't have the patience for it.
No running water, no mirrors.
No blow dryers.
No blow dryer, yeah. Dan's a camper. I bet Dan's a camper.
I can't. My phone. It's my phone. I will sleep anywhere, so camping isn't it's not like a challenge.
A deterrent?
No, even more. It's just not, you know how people go, oh, I can't, I'm roughing it. Me sleeping in the woods, that's actually a step up half the time.
Yeah,
actually, in a bush, you mean?
Yeah,
sleeping in a bush.
And what? Someone urinating on me by mistake?
Or not by mistake?
No, keeps me warm. Me and Trump. I'm the Russian prostitute.
Wow.
Even better yet, he's happy not to shower for weeks at a time.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah, yeah.
Keeps you warm.
I remember going as a kid, going to Boy Scout camp for like a week and just taking such pride in not showering for an entire week.
And
it was the coolest thing.
And getting molested and being proud of it.
That's inappropriate. It hardly ever happened.
He didn't say it was Catholic camp.
Boy Scouts, the Catholics, the priests, that's a competition.
I went on a Boy Scouts trip as well
you
when I was younger.
Boy Scout?
Yeah, Cub Scout actually.
I was Cub Scout too.
12, we traveled from London to Luxembourg by minibus.
Jesus
it was a
Christ.
Shitty little A-team kind of looking minibus. Oh, it was dreadful. Luxembourg's the worst country as well. It was the worst.
How old were you then? Like,
I must have been 11, 12.
11 or 12.
Yeah. Dip, 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 dup, dup, dup.
Yep, dip, 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 dup, dup, dup. That's the Boy Scout promise, right?
Oh, okay.
Drive right through it when you're in.
Yeah, it's that small.
Yeah. I didn't realize the Boy Scout promise in England was a football song. But that just sounds like that would be a chant.
Oh, that's what you have to say when you hold your... Is it two or three fingers
up? It's three, I think. I think two was maybe Girl Guides. Or maybe it isn't two like a Nazi
I was never
salute.
Part of Girl
what
Guides.
Does it mean?
I think fascism.
What does it mean?
What, the three?
No, the dib, 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 the dub, dub, dub. Like, what does that
dib,
mean?
Dib, dib, dib. Isn't it a police song? The dib, 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 the dub, dub, dub. Bum, 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 bum,
bum, bum. Yeah. No, yeah.
So this sounds more and more like a football song.
Are you freaking high or something?
We're not even 5 minutes into the show.
I'm high and I figured that out.
What a wild start.
There was, though, a definite connection between Boy Scouts and the church. Because I remember having to go in church marches and recite prayers and shit. They mentioned it. Jesus.
What church were you? Church of
United Church.
No, I think that was Anglican, but I was raised... school-wise and Catholic, which we won't get into, which is why I'm such an atheist now. But anyway, yeah, there was a big connection there. Baden-Powell invented the Boy Scouts, and Baden-Powell, I think in the first, it wasn't the First World War, it was like Crimean War, I think. The Crimean War?
He molested all of Crimea.
He was an army general
keeps going
or something.
There.
You're on a theme here. No, he would recruit all these young kids to be like messengers.
Is that Jimmy Savile?
Welcome to Footy Prime, the podcast. where we talk about football and other stuff. No longer on DAZN. We should mention this, don't you think, Wonga?
It's our pinned tweet.
Yeah, it is our pinned tweet. So,
Let's talk about it.
Our contract ended with DAZN, as we had anticipated, and that's okay. We've had some people commiserating with us, but they don't need to. We're in a good place, and this is what was going to always happen.
Yeah, it was originally a 8-week sponsorship with 8 shows. We gave them 2 extra weeks, so a 10-week sponsorship. Yeah, we enjoyed working with them. We're going to continue working with them, is how I feel about it, in other areas, hopefully. And that's the way we're going to approach it.
I thought it was because I called Graham Powell a twat.
I even tried to protect you.
I actually thought that, and then they thought that was all right. They were good with that. And I was like, I wish I knew that 5 shows like ago, that I'd have dropped a few twats in there too.
Save that for the book. Save that for the book we do.
All righty.
More twats.
Yeah.
Twats.
Could be a whole chapter.
So it wasn't Grandpa.
Well, it could have been, but I don't think it was. I think this is always a plan.
No.
It was fun. You know, it gave us, I think it reinvigorated us and it showed us what we can do. I mean, that's an amazing show in that it was being rolled on in Munich. It was being directed in London.
Yep.
And we were at various producing households in Toronto, right? Yep. It shows how you can produce content nowadays. So it was a pretty cool experience. We really enjoyed it.
The difficult part about it was that the sitting around like this and to be able to interact and banter and this sort of thing was difficult because there was delays because of
the interweb
everywhere.
But it's lost virtually.
When I think about the entire 10 weeks, I thought it was very successful. We had made some great new colleagues, and it actually springs us forward to what we want to do, which is, I mean, we have this week coming up an interview with Victor Montagliani.
Or Montagliani.
Montagliani.
You know what? You hear it both ways, so.
Head of CONCACAF,
I think tomorrow I'm going with Montagliani. I'm going with that.
The president of
Silent
CONCACAF.
G, like lasagna.
Vice president of
FIFA.
So that's who we're going to start rolling with a lot more content across the board. And we're going to have fun ourselves. We are going to do this fitness competition.
I'm not sure Deej knows about this.
I don't know about this.
What are you talking about? Gregor doesn't.
I think it's just us, isn't it? Know about this.
No. Deej was there.
You two
are push-ups, field goal kicking. Remember we talked about it?
Correct.
Superstars, right? CBC Superstars, but with us.
CBC Superstars. And Craig's going to have to do it.
Are we going
to
film this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not doing any push-ups.
Yeah.
I'll kick a field goal.
I don't remember you talking about this. You going to fix the open gas line that's blowing there? What the hell is that?
We're in my backyard, guys.
We also are adding more podcasts a week, so they will be on Sunday, Monday morning. We're going to have a weekend wrap between B and Craig here.
And whoever
we'll jump on when we can, and but they'll be the staples, as you mentioned before, the interview podcast, hopefully once a week.
Yep.
And of course, this, which is our therapy, as we discussed before, back in person, under the stars, like a movie I once saw. Which we shouldn't get into right now.
This is great. My canvas doesn't move like yours did. I was trying to get the pitter-patter. There you go.
You're going to put a hole in it, Charms.
Well, it's been quite the week of football, everyone. From Stevie Bruce being finally put out of his misery to another round of amazing Champions League games. And let's talk about that to start with, shall we? The Champions League. Today, United. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's got a horseshoe up his ass right now, hasn't he? Jesus Christ. 2-0 down. Then they turn it on. And they win 3-2 against Atalanta. Fantastic match for the neutral. But it got me thinking that there's no team in the world that I love watching lose more than United. Mm. So I tuned on late in that one. It was 2-0 at that point, Atalanta. This is fucking great. What a lovely way to spend my afternoon watching all these boys getting smacked. And then, of course, one by one, they got clawed back and they won the game in the end, which is disappointing. So what is there one team that you love losing more than any other?
I think that United's up there in that New York Yankees category, right? Where they have a massive fan base, but there's a lot more people that hate them. Bayern's got to be up there for a lot of people. For me, I don't really have the hatred for Sporting or Porto that other Benfica fans have. But, I mean, it'd be great if Birmingham never won a game again. I've definitely adopted that hatred. But I don't really have it as passionate as others.
Do you think Liverpool's, like most hated rivals of United, Yes. Not Everton?
Yeah, they offered me. I think it's because back in the 80s, when it was called the Friendly Rivalry, I used to really enjoy those games, and they're a good rival. But there wasn't that hatred. And also, Everton have never been really been, in the last 20 years, 30 years, haven't really been.
They won the title three times.
Yeah, in the 80s.
Yeah.
But not since.
They were a good team back then. They were a great team.
The Liverpool-Everton thing is different.
It's families as well. There's families that are split.
Yeah.
I also don't live there, right? I'm not a Scouser.
Yeah.
It's funny how Man United and Man City hate each other, their fans, even though a lot of them work together.
Yeah.
Similar to Liverpool and Everton, where, as you said, it's more of a friendly rivalry. I think, like, United hate Liverpool. United have a big rivalry with Leeds as well from back in the day and still obviously going on now. But it's just interesting to see the rivalries, like, where there's real hatred. We obviously know Celtic and Rangers. West Ham, Millwall hate each other. Chelsea, Tottenham hate each other.
Who did you enjoy beating the most? You're all the teams. I mean, I'm assuming Columbus Crew.
Definitely Columbus Crew. The Trillium Cup. I can picture growling face.
Did you win the Trillium Cup?
You know what I really did like beating when we were over here is Montreal.
Oh, of course.
I really don't like Montreal. Sorry, Dan.
Club foot.
But you played against them when they were in the league below. So what was it that you hated so much? Because I feel as though it was like a forced rivalry upon you guys, the players. Like, let's make this a thing. We want, you know, to hate Montreal. It was an enhanced rivalry, right?
A little bit of influence from Jimmy, my roommate, who kept calling him French Fox.
Jimmy hates everybody.
It's true. I've got a lot of good French friends, but French Montreal people are a little bit different, and they really dislike me, and it goes the other way too. I don't know.
I love Montreal
because you were the name. You were the
I was probably the guy that they could hammer the most.
Tall, scoring front men. They hate. You're hated everywhere.
There was a few guys from Montreal, like Adam Braz, who played for us, who's a Montreal boy.
Yeah.
I know Greg Sutton wasn't a Montreal boy, but he married a Montreal girl and he lives there.
Did they abuse you in French or in English?
Both. And in Italian as well, because there's a big Italian community there.
Saputo, the cheese guy.
Yeah. Good job these boys didn't come after me.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't be sitting there.
I'm pretty sure I had a bookie once that was friends of his.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it Joey?
No, there was always cheese around. So I just assumed it was related. It wasn't Joey, no.
No?
But my team I hate is Inter Milan.
That's because of the AC Milan connection, right? Even though you played at Samp.
Yeah, I hate Inter Milan.
So out of all the opponents you faced, you still hate Inter Milan more as a fan? Is that because fans got more passion than a player?
No, because I was a fan growing up and I had passion.
No, but as a fan, though, you have more passion, though, right? Than as a player, right?
Yeah,
you
probably.
Inter Milan, you didn't play. You may have played Inter Milan at Samp, but that's not why you hate them.
No, this is like culturally brought down from my dad, my family over there as well.
Just because you're supposed to.
Yeah, it's just, and that's how it is. That's how the hatred, I think, is stemmed from a young age. Your dad hated them. Your granddad hated them.
Yeah, many races blame their parents.
It's kind of kind of explains the world right there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Isn't it?
Very correct.
I'm sure you had this.
I was told by my mom and dad I didn't like those people. Yeah. Why? I don't know.
Okay,
various reasons.
While we're talking about this then, I was thinking about this would be a great episode. We got there organically. If you had one person to punch in the face.
Oh, God.
Who's not in this tent?
Who's not in this tent?
I still wanted to go on the Inter thing.
No, not yet. We're now switching it up.
It's the rundowns. I'm so glad we stick to these rundowns.
We'll go back. You don't want to hurry your decision.
Let's be honest. That's why we got dropped by the zone.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
Are you talking about presently?
Yeah, not in this tent.
There's a couple of commentators, actually.
Just one. You got one punch. Okay, we're going to come back to it. Inter, we'll talk about it.
So they're related to football. They don't have to be a player or coach.
It's unrelated, just life.
In life?
Female.
One, it doesn't matter.
I'm sure we've had this conversation before where I said I'd like to slide tackle Kim Kardashian.
That's different. That's right, a slide tackle.
Yeah, but not a punch.
I would never hit a woman.
Got one punch.
No.
One.
But you'd slide tackle her.
Yeah, in a co-ed.
Slide tackle the shit out of that.
But spikes up.
In a co-ed charity tournament, like, yeah, can you go in for a calculated challenge?
Well, no, because slide tackles are banned in every level, charity it seems, tournament. In this country. Oh, okay. It's ridiculous. It's all sliding is banned. It's all I have to my game.
Sliding is banned. Like, you know, yeah, how generally coordinated I am running. How many times do you think I'm intentionally sliding? But I've been called for a ton of fouls. Like, yeah, you stumbled, look at me run, referee. I've just tripped over my own feet. Yeah, but you slid. You slid at the halfway line. Foul, ball the other way. Yeah. No sliding.
It's a belly slide.
That was just your equilibrium just all out of whack.
Yeah, it's been out of whack my entire life, actually. I can't even sit in this chair balance, for God's sake. I did want to ask Deecha an inter question. So you described the hatred that you had when you finally got the chance to play against them, because I'm sure for a long time you never really envisioned it. And then it came up with two chances to play in the Serie A. When you finally played against Inter, was it like, describe that?
Hatred.
For real days?
Hatred.
You're in that change room at San Siro?
Yeah, in the run-up. Well, Milan obviously play in that same stadium as well, but I don't know if you ever been to a Milan or Inter game, the stadium turns a different color.
Yeah.
For the actual home games of Inter or Milan. So just seeing the San Siro in blue and black really jarred me. It really angered me in a way. I don't know. It's something about that blue and black kit and just.
If you ever run into Danny Dicchio, don't wear blue or black.
Don't do it.
That's why he hates Montreal. The second they put that kit, right?
Good,
the second they came out with that kit,
that's the reason.
That Nerazzurri kit. You go, that was it. It was like they were sticking it to you. So you're like, Jimmy was right.
So when you played them, what that was like? Obviously, Zanetti was there still because he was there for like
Zanetti,
50 years.
Yeah, I think Simeone Stojkovic was there.
But wasn't Inter created because Milan Athletic Club wouldn't let anybody?
So Milan was an English guy that came across. It was actually an athletic and cricket club. That's what the ANC stands for as well.
Oh, does it really?
And they're like the working class club that was in Milan, first of all. And that's why Inter Milan are kind of the snobbish club, because they were bought or they were built by this new wave of rich people that were coming out of Italy, and they were seen as the posh club.
So successful
Milan.
Italians, and you always hated that.
In 1904. I thought that it stood for Atletico Calcio di Milano.
It might have changed now, but it was a cricket club.
Wow.
You do love cricket, though, in fairness, which explains perhaps the love there as well.
Just not watching it.
How about you, Craig? Someone you love to beat more than anyone. Was it your rival? I mean, was it a Norwich?
Oh, well, that was from the fans' point of view. Yeah, it was.
Was it?
You wanted to.
The three letter in the ratings. You fucking loved it when your ratings were better than theirs. Premier League Saturdays. You loved it.
Whose ratings?
The three letter.
We didn't care. You know, it only mattered if you had Man United on your station.
Right.
They were the team that I always wanted. They were the ones that you want to beat the best, whoever that is at the time.
How did that go for you?
Fuck off, Sharms. You know what? Did you know? Wonger, don't you start. Listen, did you know? I bet you didn't. The year we got beat 9-0, we beat them at home.
See? No, they're the forgotten facts, right? Which are important.
If we had beat it, got 9-0 everywhere and won our home game, we would have stayed in the Premier League. We got more points against United than most that year.
I'm going to pull up the whole fixture list for that season.
But that's actually an amazing stat, right? You lose 9-0, but you beat them in the
other leg. Yeah, but no one ever
3-2,
right?
I think I think that was Paul Scholes' first ever goal.
What a goal it was.
No. They lost 3-2.
Wow, really, eh?
Yeah.
So do you remember the room after that result?
Beat him a couple of times. Frank Yallop, little nick off a defender into the top corner.
So Yallop scored, the winner.
No, that was another time.
Yeah, wow. great moments in Canadian history.
You know who I really didn't like growing up, though, like in England, was Liverpool, because Liverpool won everything in the 80s.
Right.
Obviously, like watching.
Well, they didn't win three championships, apparently, because Everton did, as you've already.
Yeah. It was a good time in Merseyside those days, but Liverpool back in the day, like pre-80s, like Everton, like under Rush, John Aldridge, like Kenny Dalglish.
Okay, but tell me, how are they perceived outside? You know, because as a fan, I love those players. They seem to me to be quite likable players. How are they perceived?
It was nothing to do with the players. I just hated Liverpool, the team, because they won everything.
Except for Souness. Souness wasn't very well. I mean,
yeah, but I would still have him on my team any day.
Oh. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They just were
he
such...
You win the last 5 minutes now, though.
No. VAR would be killing him.
Right?
It's funny, though, right?
Off 5 minutes in. It's Souness used to hatchet people.
Yes, I'll have another. It's funny how hatred is born in a short period when you are a child that feels so long. Like I mentioned the Yankees. I hated the Yankees. But if you look at the 90s, it was really only like four years out of a 6 year period that they were any good to be challenging for titles, but I despise them. But it's like those six incredibly important developmental sporting fandom years, right? That you carry this hatred into adulthood, that you go into San Siro and all you can see is Nerazzurri and you want to murder people. Did your teammates feel like, oh, Deitch is really up for it today?
No, because
like,
it's different.
Watch him.
Yeah, and it's,
he might
it's
get a, sent off.
Right.
It's a little bit different because you've got players from all around the country who probably support different teams from where they grew up. There wasn't many Milan or Inter fans in our group.
Okay.
In both teams I played
for. Deitch, they all loved Juve.
Tell me if
yeah,
I'm...
A lot of players did support Juve because they were the Liverpool of... the 80s and 90s.
Right.
Tell me if I'm wrong, though. Like, once, like, your hatred for them or not, depending on, like, once you cross the line,
yeah,
you...
There's an added spice when you're playing against a team you hate.
Oh, yeah.
Milan were the Liverpool of the late 80s.
I guess it's different for players.
Yeah. With all the Dutchies?
Milan were, yeah. Hulit, Koeman.
Jovinko's a big Milan fan. You know that?
Really?
Is he really?
Yeah.
No.
Big Milanista.
Did you guys ever watch matches together?
No, but there was a couple
you
of times.
See over the seats.
wasn't he just at TFC?
He lives here. Yeah, he lives in Toronto.
He moved home.
No, his kept
wife
his family.
And kids always.
Hey, there were rumors last past week that Insigne was in talks with TFC.
Really?
Daddy, yeah. Can't talk about this.
No, rumors have it, a TFC executive was seen talking with Insigne in Italy, and that was reported by, it wasn't Sky Italia, but it was a legitimate Sky journalist. And tell you what, if Insigne came to MLS, he'd score a shitload of goals.
He would. He would have.
He'd be a great signing.
He would have the impact on the league that Jovinko did. When Jovinko came.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think we all thought on paper he should destroy the league. But we were all a bit doubtful. It was physical. It was fast. He admitted in the beginning, wow, the skill is a bit different than he'd anticipated. But he still was MVP. And in my opinion, to this day, is the most talented player to play in Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
If Insigne came, but my God, he'd have the same impact.
If you're him looking at Toronto FC now, are you willing to make that move?
But any of these guys just do it for the money. For
$8 or $9
right?
million a year, maybe.
When Jovinko right. came here, there
well,
was...
I was just wondering whether... Yeah, okay.
I guess I'll find out who's the manager.
I was actually from an actual winning
there was from a like, selfish, yeah, geez, mercenary,
you know, like trophies,
standpoint.
You know, like that sort of thing. But
get a manager for
it. It's a little bit different, I must say, than and Craig's right in a way, because Jovinko was coming to a kind of an established team that just needed that extra piece to put them over the line. I still feel that Insigne has, you got to remember, Jovinko was on the outskirts of Juve. He wasn't playing much. He was playing maybe in the cup games. He wasn't playing in Champions League games. So he needed a new adventure, but he also wanted to get paid because he was 26, 27.
27.
Yeah, at that time. Insigne is still in the national team, playing, starting for the national team.
Yeah.
Won the Euros, now going into a World Cup year in 2022. At the end of his contract, I think coming up in the summer, or maybe he's got a year left, with rumours of Manchester United and other big clubs wanting to sign him. So they've got to throw a hell of a lot of money at him.
Well, Deech, you tell me. I mean, this is a World Cup year, as you mentioned, right? If Insigne jumps to MLS, that won't do his hopes any good to play for Italy at the World Cup. Well, Giovinco found that.
There was a time that would be in the absolute kiss of death.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Giovinco experienced that.
Yeah, he did. I think
at a time when Italy weren't contending.
He was recalled once, I think, wasn't he? He was recalled once, remember? And he came back really late and then scored that wonder goal against Montreal, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
No, right. New York.
New York, was it? Yeah. But yeah, but Insigne, I mean, to me, Insigne's had a better career
French
than Giovinco.
French people. French.
Insigne's had a better career for sure. There's a great photo of Giovinco in one of his last training sessions at Juve, and you could tell the guys are taking the piss out of him. They're just doing some running drill, and he's kind of behind, and he looks like he's been bullied the whole time. And I remember seeing the salary sheet for that season, and you know, Pirlo was there, Chiellini, Bonucci, obviously, Buffon. Trying to think of other big money stars at the time that would have been at Juve, like maybe Evra was there. The guys that were on big money at that time, and he was the joint highest paid with his new deal. Whoever the top Juve guy was, his TFC deal was match money.
Wasn't it higher? I thought he was the highest paid Italian athlete in the world.
To be honest, you know what? It could have been. I might be wrong. It could have been.
Yeah. But until Pele went to China. Remember Graziano Pele?
From Southampton.
Oh, yeah. But I just remember seeing the list at the time that there were quite a few guys on that Juve squad.
And remember, he wasn't going to come over until the end of the season. You can imagine what's going on there. He's in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Doesn't even play for the team, strutting around.
On 7 million US.
How the fuck did you get that contract?
Yeah.
Right?
There was all these guys.
Like, you know what? Yeah, you can take him now.
All these guys on that list that were, more than half the team was on less than €1 million a year. More than half the squad. Now, those guys were getting a ton of money, but yeah, he was making more. I think you're right. They were on, you know, 2 million, 3 million. That used to be the thing. Remember when we had the Serie A? Palermo. Who was the guy that scored all the goals for Palermo? Not Milito.
Wait a second. Maxi. Footy Prime had the Serie A?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Did I say Footy Prime? No. Oh, that's the first time. I called Footy Prime Footy Show.
You didn't
show
even realize, did you, Dan?
You said we. Like, we're all part of this.
Because it just feel like you've been around
it's
forever.
Just you two,
it's when Dan Wang was producing us.
Dan Wang, yeah.
That's Steve Che. Yeah. That's my alter ego.
The Palermo strike. Oh, my God. Who the hell was it? Jesus.
It starts with an M. Diego Milito was the guy for Inter, right?
Yeah.
The Argentine, so it's not him. But he was a small man.
Maxi Lopez.
No, he may have been Argentine.
Oh,
Argentine
I do remember
Italian.
Now. He went Benfica.
All tats. If he did, it was at the very end. Very end, maybe. Anyway, he was the only one on Palermo on $1 million. And it was like, it was €1 million and €10.
Well, that can't be true.
No, when we had the Serie A.
Yeah, that was 2012, 2011.
They were in the Serie A contending for
more than that.
No, this is what I'm talking about. This is why it was such a big deal when Giovinco came. The money difference in a league like Serie A and compared to anywhere else. Well, no, Bundesliga is like this as well. There's not as many guys on 5, 10 million that you think. If you look at the salary sheet, quite a few guys are on 2 and 3, 4 million. So this is why it's enticing to a guy like Insigne, who, yes, is playing in the Champions League, has the market.
He's making big money now.
A
World Cup winner who is playing on Juventus or, you know, a top league, they're making big money now. They are. They have to be.
A lot of those guys are not on €10 million a year.
Italy has changed a lot.
No, they're not.
Yeah, Italy has changed a lot in offering players more money, but they've also burnt themselves a la Inter, where they've won the title, they've seen the rewards for winning the title, and it doesn't even touch what they're spending on wages. That's why they had to get rid of Lukaku and four or five other players. So even Ronaldo was one of those guys that Allegri didn't really fancy, but the marketing and branding behind him was so good at Juve. But it was a balance between, do we get rid of him now? Can we get a little bit for him?
His wages were astronomical compared to everyone else. I mean, that's
Messi as well.
Yeah.
These teams are kind of
but they
burn themselves now, Craig, huh?
Well, that's right. I mean, when you look, it's also like the country and the amount of money the tickets they're spending, the TV contracts, all these things that come into play.
No, I know, but it sounds ridiculous. But the 10 million now, it's not the same as it once was, right? It's far less now than it used to be.
10 million euros.
Yeah. It's still big money. Don't get me wrong.
But even but look at Michael Bradley, for example, who, yes, was swooned by the idea of coming home. But he didn't come home, did he? He came to Canada because he was making 2.5 times what he's making at Roma.
Yeah, but that's Michael Bradley, never a star.
Well,
he wasn't a star at Roma. He's a good player. He wasn't a star.
No.
He was starting at Roma, unlike...
He was also, a U.S. captain at that time.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but he wasn't a star at Roma. He wasn't like, wow, revered and big, you know, tifos of Michael Bradley and the Stadio Olimpico.
Tifos of Michael Bradley. Yeah,
TFC decided to go big on a few players.
Really. They chose well, apart from Defoe.
And they chose well. They did well.
You looking up numbers there?
No, I'm looking up the guy. But I can go to salaries.
Overspend, really, to get them to come.
You do have to.
It becomes, all right, I'm not now trying to challenge for the Serie A, which is a really great professional achievement. I'm now going for the MLS Cup, which is, it's cool.
What was your biggest motivator as a player? Was it money or was it opportunity?
Ooh. No, it's never money.
we can vouch for that.
Exactly. I made a lot of bad decisions.
No, but I'm serious though. I mean, what was it? Obviously, you were comfortable at Ipswich, and then you were comfortable at West Ham.
It wasn't something I really thought about. They were trying to get another contract, trying to get, you know.
So it wasn't like here's 10 offers from various clubs. Go for the biggest one. They're all kind of similar. Well,
you're under contract. You kind of know if anybody's sniffing around, and right.
How close were you to playing in the MLS, Greg?
Not
even close.
They tried to get him out of the broadcast booth and onto the pitch.
I remember you like it was a flirt, but not even close. Eh, not a real flirt.
I was making twice as much doing TV. What the fuck would I want to be doing that?
That was MLS at the time.
Yeah, those were the days.
So you were making $33,000 that year.
Honestly, though, talk about money. The year Dietrich
$3,500 bucks a game. That's what I get back in 2007 MLS.
Wow, that was it. $3,500 a game. If you were really, wow.
No broadcast.
No, are you saying as a player, MLS or broadcast?
That was what I was getting broadcasting.
Oh, okay, well, geez, time's changed. Jeez.
Man, yeah, time's fucking changed.
We joined the party way too late, baby.
Yeah, seriously. Lone play-by-play man booth. I'd have to do fucking 7 games to get that.
And you paid for it. You paid them.
I was paying them.
Paid to build the booth.
Yeah, exactly. What about you? It's just because it was Portuguese. Yeah, can you come in?
Still companies.
Gregor,
they give you $2,500 and still out.
Brother,
there,
you got to say this to Sharms. You got to go. What you didn't?
what did you get? Hey, listen. I got some really nice suits. Teacher, were you ever compelled to? Did you chase the money or was it opportunity for you?
It was opportunity and wanting to play.
So you'd rather start, guaranteed a starting position, than go and sit on the bench for twice.
Yeah, have the ability to compete for a place. There's teams, and Craig will allude to this as well, where you know kind of your time's up and you're not getting on the bench or you're not in the manager's plans. And I wouldn't want to sit around like a bad smell or like a...
But wasn't more, I mean, at your time of your career when you came over, there's other big factors.
Yeah, for
They're
sure.
Different. Like, you're not coming over for the money necessarily. You're coming over to, hey.
I definitely wasn't coming over here for the money.
You want to raise your kids. you might want to settle here and bring your kids up here in Canada, all these different things. These are totally different factors.
And obviously, moving a continent as well is a total different thing than moving from up north in England to down south.
Did the team pay for your move over here?
Nope. They helped out a little bit with the hotel for 2 weeks, and then you were kind of left to yourselves. But the club's moved on now, and they do a fantastic job for players coming in.
Yeah. Sorry, your gal, Claire, she'd lived in the States at one point, right?
She was born in the States, yeah.
But not in Canada. So this was brand new to her?
Yes. She lived in the States. Her mom and dad were hippies. They moved back to Australia. They moved to... to London, then back to Australia, and then back to London.
So this must have been like the two of you fish out of water, not in a bad way, because you were you were excited about it.
For sure. We'd always wanted to move to North America towards the end of my career for me to see out my career in North America. And you obviously know the story. I went to Chicago, nearly signed with them, had offers with DC, but then basically Toronto put a contract on the table and said, you don't need a green card, you don't need this, get yourself over here. And that was when I had to go to my current club at the time, which was Preston, and say, they need me now. They've had four games, they haven't won, three games, they haven't scored a goal. And we were just probably about 2 months before the end of our season. So I came over and I didn't even return. My missus had to go back to England.
For school and stuff?
To pack up the house.
Oh, my God.
The kids, and say goodbye to everyone that you're never going to see them again. But I didn't even get to say that goodbye. I came over and basically had to start playing straight away.
I didn't remember that.
You got off lightly bad. My missus pissed still over there.
Hey, telephones. You know how much work that is?
Oh. I have no idea. What
Forget about the goodbyes. You could always say that.
Yeah, later.
Give a call.
Oh, that's a lot of work.
You know, moving to Afghanistan. You know, you could have like picked up the blowers and, hey, by the way, I'm not coming back. Yeah. Nice to know you.
Yeah, that's right. Kabul United.
Toronto. Jesus. Oh, geez, you sacrificed so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember the way the team was playing? It might as well have been Taliban FC. It was awful.
People used to have to take a freaking rowboat to get here.
The Palermo guy, you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fabrizio Micheli.
Micheli.
Oh my God. So
he did go to Benfica.
He did go to Benfica, 35 games. He was only there alone.
Wow, Micheli's great.
I played against him here for Benfica.
In a Legends game?
Benfica.
Oh, okay.
Was he playing that game?
That's
you know when we used to play those?
Yeah, of course.
Money.
Those money grabs.
Money games. They were at the end of the club. Everybody it was May, right? It was the grabber. End of the club season.
Real Madrid,
over there.
We played.
Yeah, that's
Benfica.
What Benfica picked up your girlfriend, right? That same tour.
I tried to. Well, not that tour. Deitch was retired by then.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Tour. Okay.
No, that Benfica.
How about the crowds, though? They were huge. How about Liverpool when they were here?
Massive crowd. Yeah, Rogers Center.
The Rogers Center.
I saw them at Rogers Center, yeah, against TFC.
My great memory from that Benfica game. They bought their full team as well, but they partied hard. But Micheli is from the same town, kind of region as my dad. He's Pugliese. So we were talking. He's like, this Toronto, I love this Toronto. Like he's saying in Italian, can you get me a move here? I was like, yeah, we'd love to have you. Never heard the end of it. But at halftime, so I didn't start the game because I remember Mo resting a lot of the guys because we had a game at the weekend. And I'm sitting on the bench. And there was a couple of young guys near me, and the announcer on the big speakers was going, "And now, Toronto FC fans, we have a legend that we'd like to introduce you to." And I'm going, "Wow, who's this coming out?" And I've seen the guy coming out already, and he's slowly walking out. I go, "Fuck me, that is a legend." And I said to the young guys, "You know who that is? You know who that is?" And then the commentator goes, "We'd like to introduce to you Eusebio." And I went, "Oh my God, he's just absolutely
Eusebio.
Just crashed this guy's name who's a living legend in world football." Like even Eusebio looked at the rest of the people and went, Did he just call me Eusebio? I say, Deitch, calm down, you're in a different continent. Just respect what they
You remember that time?
Good effort.
I interviewed Eusebio.
Yeah.
So I got to interview Eusebio. And as much as I was in a complete awe of this legend, it was the most difficult interview of my entire life.
Yeah. Really? Did he speak English?
No. No, not very well.
That's
so your Portuguese ain't the best.
So he got brought over a good friend, Bobby Irushi, right? You know Bobby?
Yeah, yeah.
Great guy. Legend in this game, in this country for a number of reasons. He brought him over on some PR trip. It's before a World Cup, I think it was.
He was wearing a telecom jersey.
Yeah. A badly fitting one too. And he just got off the plane. This is an old man. Right, he didn't speak a word of English.
This was an old man. Honestly, it was exploitation.
It was exploitation, and I'm joined now by an absolute living legend, Eusebio. You know, first question, whatever, blah blah blah. Yes, that was the answer. Yes, this lovely smile. He had a great smile, and it just like obviously like drawing blood from a stone because he didn't speak English. He was exhausted.
Yeah.
And it was really tough. So we made something out of it. I forget what exactly, but it was really difficult. And I felt bad for the guy because, you know, it wasn't his fault. Right?
That sounds like a bad...
that's kind of like Rocky,
decision
though,
somewhere down the line here.
He was like a Rocky. They're just bringing him around. Putting
It's like Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh. Yeah.
Just string him up.
At Bernie's.
I just hope he actually got paid.
Jonathan Silverman and the guy from Pretty in Pink.
Oh, Richard Gere.
I just hope he got paid for that and they didn't pay him in, you know, internet service or food coupons like... they treat other soccer entities.
That was tough, though.
Yeah. I did a whole half a season of a soccer show and got paid in restaurant vouchers.
He's still going on about how much money you made. He's like, I really got screwed over, didn't I?
Yeah, this guy's over here playing in MLS, but we're slaving in the Serie A. That's basically what it was.
They needed to burn money. They got a lot of money to burn, right?
Don't tell that. The conservatives are listening.
Sorry.
Didn't the Raptors get vouchers for like a food place when they won the championship? And I sent them a missus. Do you really think a fucking guy that's on $60 million a year wants to go and eat at Osmo's fucking like shawarma house for free?
Lifetime at Osmo's. It's a lifetime at Osmo's. It's a big
all
deal.
All you can eat at Osmo's,
which is pretty good, by the way. I like Osmo's, but
I've never had it. Osmo's, you're getting a shout out. Actually, I want to tell you, I don't think we've ever spoken more about MLS ever.
Yeah,
it was really good.
Or Syria,
or Syria, or this guy. What's his name?
Mikkeli.
Fabrizio Mikkeli.
Mikkeli.
You should look him up. He would have been one of your favorite players.
No.
So he was.
So go ahead.
Brentford players only.
I remember that year we had Serie A. So I'm glad he didn't come to TFC because we needed him to like garner some ratings above NA and 3, which is 3,000.
Pretty much what we got for Serie A.
The ratings for Serie A.
Not applicable.
Seriously, the Serie A ratings were horrendous.
Hold on. There was an actual program NA.
No, there was rating. That was rating. Rating.
Also, if you're below 3,000, you get 0. NA.
Not applicable.
Yeah. Like they literally couldn't tabulate it.
TFC had games like that. If they're playing in Philadelphia, TSN, NA.
Like when I was playing, or
yeah, right.
We were the new fish.
Kids
on the block back in those days.
Oh yeah,
must have been during the winter days.
It was the Dero days. It was
the trouble with Toronto FC and MLS in particular is doesn't do well on TV. It doesn't draw well. I can't.
The Canada game drew well, yeah?
I don't know.
380,000.
Well-ish.
Yeah, that was good. Without any promotion. Or, well,
why don't we talk about that? That's a great.
And then another.
That's a great conversation. Why don't we talk about that?
Great segue, Dan. Great segue. Your new name is Dan Segue.
New mics? Or is it cable?
More into the fun.
There's no fun left, is there?
No,
I thought it was a democracy. Don't we get to vote on how the money is spent? Can we get a shawarma too? Yeah, call Osmos. We want to get
380,000 is a pretty good.
It's a good number.
It's a pretty good number for Canada.
What do you think it'll be this time next year?
You know what? They got very fortunate, Sportsnet, because there was no baseball game that night.
They went up against the Leafs home opener.
Yes. But it would have gone up again. Then if baseball happened, they would have been pushed right to now or whatever.
World.
World.
Is World still going?
Or FX. Yeah, World's still on. You get all the snooker and
you think it's snooker
rugby you want.
I wish you got snooker on there.
They're still living off all the people on there. They don't realize they're still paying for it.
Yeah, yeah. I remember someone told us that, didn't they? Yeah. One of the executives said, we spoke to them, said, are you going to still keep Sportsnet World on? We could do a soccer show on there, like a round table. They went, no, not really. Half of the people that are subscribers don't even know they're still paying for it, so we'll just keep taking their money.
Yeah. My dad was one of them, and so I let him know.
I just got dinged from the NBA. I subscribe monthly to the NBA like TV package, and I just assumed the season was off. I wasn't getting charged, and I look at the credit card statement for the first time in detail, this last one, and went, the hell? This season ended in July. They've been charging me throughout the summer for what? And it's like it's an annual monthly fee.
No matter season off season.
Season's not been on.
Was it great content though?
I didn't look at it because I didn't know I had it. And no, it wouldn't have been. It was Summer League, and it would have been shit features in that.
Yeah, sad. Hey, circling back to who we want to punch. Any more thought on that? I'm having difficulty with this, which is strange, being such an angry person.
Yeah, usually we hate a lot of people.
There's a woman on my TV every evening who reads out what's going on in the medical world. I think she's a health officer for Toronto. I don't know her name. I won't say her name, but I can't hit a woman. So
there's a number of...
I'd get my wife to hit her instead.
There's a number of people who have made their careers during the last 18 months of pandemic who I'd love to punch in the face. That's true.
100%. Many. Many. Keep quiet over there, Craig.
On both sides of the coin, Craig. Not just the one. Well, not that they show one side of the coin at all, but just... Yeah. Anyway. Craig, do you want to punch anyone?
No.
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 I used to have people, I'm sure. I used to be lists. Maybe I've mellowed in my old age. On the flip side, so Steve Bruce gets fired by Newcastle.
I would drive him off the road into a fucking canyon, maybe.
But... Oh, you would? Is it the intimacy of the punch you can't handle? You'd rather just like this disembodied ram off the road? Yeah. But so Steve Bruce gets fired, one of the most likable, nicest guys in football, apparently, who was just abused by the Newcastle fans.
Yeah. What a vicious business.
Nasty. Just nasty.
That's why I...
Wait, what happened?
Well, Steve... I mean, that's a really bad team with no investment who he got... He kept safe for a couple of years. Yeah. And they never, ever accepted him.
It's not his fault. He has noses all over his face because he was...
Great defender.
Great defender, and guys like Dick Hill laying their elbows along as a hooter.
Did you play against him?
Yeah. many times.
Is that how he speaks?
He used to speak like that in his journey. Yeah.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Before the
nose. He had some surgery.
No, he had a lot. So, like,
he's got a great voice,
like,
though. I love his voice. He can read me a nice story like this. Good Steve, didn't he, eh?
Yeah, it doesn't match really the face, his voice. But you know what? Yeah, brutal.
It's a horrible business.
Jordy as well, huh? Like, to be treated like that by your own kind. And she came out today and said, I think I'm going to take a... I think this is it for me in football. The way my family... his dad passed away a couple of years ago. I remember he went on a little hiatus for a couple of weeks just to break it up. And he got stick for that. But the way his family and friends have been treated by his own... I think that would do me as well.
Right. His wife's parents are apparently very sick.
Yeah.
And the stress felt, and their Geordies through. They love that football club.
And yet these friggin' bone saw merchants coming over and buying the club. They love them.
See, Newcastle put out a statement today saying, we please ask Newcastle fans to stop wearing chic outfits to the games. We're not personally offended by it, but some people might be.
Craig actually has been rehearsing that bonesaw line for about 3 weeks now.
He delivered it brilliantly.
He did, and like without a pause, but I don't think he put enough emphasis on it. People just
bone or saw? Right, do you put the emphasis on the bone or the saw?
I think you just have to bonesaw.
Steve Bruce might actually, you know, this might be the best thing that ever happened to him. Just quietly. The next manager.
He'd get some plastic surgery whether he liked it or not.
Yeah, the next manager.
Are you suggesting that he might
get the old visit to the Turkish embassy?
Right. Is it a job? No, I'll ask your opinion on this. Can we rewind that and delete that?
No, this is all knowledge. This is all fact.
Khashoggi?
It's all fact.
Yeah. No, the CIA, right. Even the middle.
Yeah.
Putting this out there. Is Newcastle a job that no manager really wants at this present time? If you were a head coach or manager and you had a decent name in the game, would you want that job?
Jeez.
I think you would, because you're starting from ground zero, right? You're at the worst case scenario. You're at, you know, what's it when an alky's in the worst place, alcoholics in the worst, you're in your, what do you call it?
The gutter?
Cold turkey.
A junkie or an alky. You're at your, oh my God,
an
what's
addict?
The term?
An addict?
No, at your worst place.
Oshawa. See, if you were from Liverpool, you'd know.
Rock bottom. You're at rock bottom.
Oshawa.
What do you say?
Oshawa.
You're at rock bottom.
We just defended two dangerous parts of the world that I would never want to be caught in.
This club's at rock bottom, right? There's only literally only one way to go. And you're going to do it with a hell of a lot of money behind you, right?
Yeah.
And you've got a transfer window 2 months away. You can keep losing for a few weeks, a few months until you figure it out, right? I think it's a pretty good opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah. Who wants to be Newcastle's Mark Hughes?
Exactly.
Well, yeah, okay. Or
who wants to be the first guy of the guys that are going to turn this club around?
But that's for 10 million reasons, they'll do it.
Yeah.
But they're also going to do it, I think, a little bit faster than City in the sense of money, because they'll be able to spend immediately. There's a lot of these teams that, you know, are big spenders and big clubs that are still going to operate with a bit of a COVID hangover. They don't have to do that. So they'll be right in on anybody, driving up the price for a Haaland to go to wherever he goes.
Yeah, but that's, I hate the argument, though, because
the average
top player like Haaland isn't going to Newcastle.
Agreed. But they're
that's not a Champions League team.
My point is, though, is that much like City at that time, though, they're just going to drive up the price. But if you remember, City still came away with Adebayor, Milner, Gareth Barry.
These were after they got Rabinho and Joe, which are just massive failures.
These guys were in the... But all of these guys they got...
Santa Cruz.
All of these guys that they got, though, were in the top 20... of coveted transfers at that time. Newcastle haven't been in the top 20 of coveted transfers. They've been getting diamonds in the rough. Saint Maximin, did they get Rondon for a minute?
Yeah.
Yes. Rondon's gone to Everton now.
Yeah, Everton. Looks terrible.
But Joe Linton, all of these guys that have turned out okay are diamonds in the rough for them. They're not in a top 50 pool of transfer targets. Now they're in that. They're in the top 10 immediately.
My big argument is that they're going to inherit players that are going there for the money. They're not going there to basically roll up their sleeves and try to get the club in a pathway to where the owners want them to be as quick as they want them to be. So for a manager to come in and manage those egos... If you're going in there and you want a quick fix, you know you're going to be out of that job in 2 years and you earn 5 mil, 6 mil, then so be it. But this experience and this job could also put you back another two jobs in the future.
You're going to turn it down?
Yes, because I'm a Sunderland. I'm waiting for the Sunderland job.
But
it's going to be a long time.
They're coming back. They're second in the league at the moment.
I love the way you said that, though. We might be going down the same angle here. So Frank Lampard, you just said it would set you back two jobs. Whereas I think for him, it's a low-risk situation to be the Mark Hughes guy, knowing he's not going to get Neymar and Mbappe and Haaland in the first window, but he's going to get a lot of guys that Newcastle wouldn't have had a chance at getting before. And maybe it's a six-month job, but he's just come off of one that was too big for him. And I think... You know, he isn't being treated the same as an exiled manager that would have failed in that position without having had the experience he had. There's a forgiveness with Lampard for that situation.
For sure. But
is
the
Geordie
faithful are like crazy. Like they want to, they have the same belief as the owners that they're going to be winning the Champions League within 2 years. Craig will tell you
Do the owners think that?
They're nuts up there.
Do the owners think that?
What do the owners know about football?
Well, nothing, but they must have a plan that might also include relegation.
No
Amanda
chance.
Staveley? Are you kidding me?
No chance.
No, they do. They have to.
No chance.
You don't buy a club that is in the relegation zone not thinking that there's a chance we might get relegated.
Plan. No. I think they wanted to jump on an EPL team that was accessible.
Anyone with money
with
buys
potential,
the way
with
out
potential.
Of it.
Yes.
Did they get relegated? I think your mic's off.
I don't think they really care.
No, I don't. I mean, I think obviously, listen, the plan is not to be relegated and it's to, you know, be successful in short order. I get that. But there's no way they haven't got a contingency plan. What if we do go down? Because by the time January comes around, the transfer window, they could be 10 points out of safety, which means they're done.
So they're by the way out of it.
That's why I feel...
No, you don't in January, though.
Go and get someone like Sam Allardyce and say, listen,
they tried that before.
Sam Allardyce, you keep us up this year. This is your bonus. Then in the summer, we bring in our intended target head coach,
Jose,
who has the whole summer and he has the whole year basically with the technical director, sporting director on who they want to bring in for next year. This year is a write-off. They just need to stay up. So they need to bring in a head coach who is going to stable the ship, and they do not
go. Yeah, but who is that? He's just not out of dice, right? Joking aside, when he was there at Newcastle, the fans hated him, right?
He's not got a job at the moment.
Yeah, but the fans wouldn't take him back. He's been there.
If they keep him up,
they would take Shearer to keep him up.
I know, but they're not going to accept Sam Allardyce. You just ditch Steve Bruce, and then you say, listen, guys, we're giving Allardyce a six-month contract. The fan, the jury faith will be saying, you're bone saw killers. You can get better than that.
He keeps coming back to that.
Right? No, better than that, though. Imagine that.
Oh, I'm with Charms. A big
grand unveiling.
Might as well stay with Steve Bruce. He looks as though he's taking the bone saw anyway.
Exactly. I'm with Charms on that. Yeah, but they think they did him a favor. Hey, here's the rest of your contract in cash. Bye.
Well, they did, because he could have walked away himself, in fairness, right?
Sorry, what is Newcastle's nickname?
The Magpies.
Geordies.
Bone saws.
From now on, they are, anyway.
God, you know what?
Tell me why? I don't understand this bone saw.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Okay, tell them. We're talking about it today.
All right, can we talk about this offline?
No, this is not a...
Everybody in the world knows it.
Apart from me.
But, you've not watched Squid Game yet? Torture. It's a common thing.
I haven't watched Squid Game.
A leading North American resident who was critical of the Saudi Arabian government. He was a Turkish. I think he's Turkish, right? Originally?
I think so, yeah.
What did you say North American for?
Because he lived in North America. He's a North American resident.
Oh, shit.
He wasn't American.
He had a landed residency.
But that's why the Americans are so involved.
Oh, he lived in the States.
States. His girlfriend was American. Went to the Turkish...
embassy.
Istanbul. No, sorry. Was it the Saudi...
He went to the Saudi Arabian embassy in Turkey.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to ever enter, but he needed to get a marriage license to marry his wife, who's going to wait outside while he goes in. Well, when he went in, they bone sawed him into pieces within minutes.
Is this fact?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's tape.
They even had a guy come out of the building on camera. They had a guy come out of the building on camera.
With a suitcase?
Wearing his clothes.
Wearing his clothes to make it look like he actually left.
Now, whether he was killed first before he was bone sawed, let's hope he was. We don't know that.
But it was all
some James Bond shit
all
going
the Saudi
on.
Arabia, all these guys from Saudi Arabia.
Born ultimatum.
Came all the way over there. It was edgy. Planned. He was a writer and a contributor for like Washington Post.
So was he deemed as a spy or something?
No, he was just a journalist
that wrote.
He just spoke out against
the critical about the Saudis.
About
the new owners.
Yes.
Of Newcastle.
Well, no. Oh. No, they're not.
It's not. It's the LLC.
I get it. It's the company.
Yeah, it's
that
the LLC.
Yeah. So it's not Dan Wong. It's Footy Prime. If Danny Dicchio ever kills anybody,
Saudi Arabia is a complete monarchy.
So is a bone saw different to a regular saw? Is it powered?
Okay, so a bone saw, I think, it's just a reciprocating saw.
Oh, is it?
Ooh, yeah, you know what a reciprocating saw is.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus. Like one blade.
That's what you would use to cut people up.
But is bone harder than wood, for example?
Yes,
would you need
because it's fresh blade? And because ligament is really hard to cut
through. You know a lot about this.
I had a girlfriend who was a...
Had?
Yeah. Well, it was an old girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened to her?
Bone saw. That's wrong. Oh my God.
It's hard to get to like a spinal cord.
Yeah, it's tough to cut.
I guess it would be, right? Because the cord itself could be tougher than the bone.
And you pull it as hard as you
can. Harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's when they cut one of Craig's balls off, took them forever.
Yeah.
The
ball just came off. That would have.
Yeah, it was the rest.
Hey?
Really?
It was like an elastic band.
Was it a bone saw?
Were you awake?
I hope not.
Were you awake for that?
No.
That's a good question. Because nowadays, I mean, they try to do as many things without actually putting you under.
And it's not actually, they go through the abdomen, don't they?
Yeah, that was a surprise to me.
Not being coy, not everyone might know this, but Craig had his testicle removed for cancer.
Yeah.
Not being a joke, but
No, that's true.
Everyone knows that.
No, but we don't. We have new listeners.
People didn't know that's about Khashoggi.
World Cup qualifying has got us some new listeners. Yeah. So thank you, everybody.
So they went for the abdomen.
We've just lost them.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What was worse, Steve Bruce's last days in Newcastle or the last 4 minutes of this podcast?
Yeah.
Or Craig's experience.
Oh, jeez.
Basically, I was at home. What you should do is play with your balls.
Correct.
You really should. And just make
more
sure
men should do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Yep. So, and it actually has become quite a big thing in the UK. Not here in Canada, is it?
No.
At all.
Yeah, why is that? Stigma here against it a little bit.
Huh?
Yeah, why is that?
I have no idea.
There should be no stigma.
But are the rates considerably lower here? Is it
nope.
Is it that?
No, I don't think so. Movember, it's like the fastest growing
the Movember
cancer.
Movement, that's for prostate cancer, isn't it?
No, it involves everything now.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, okay. All men's.
Initially, it may have been just but because prostate was the leading at the time.
That's right.
Yeah. Who talks about that?
While we're talking about this, did you hear about the Bournemouth player this week, Craig? David Brooks?
No.
The young boy who they signed from Sheffield United a couple of years ago. Very, very good player. Plays for Wales as well. He's just been, Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So, stage two. It's a tough time. The Bournemouth scored at the weekend and they did a little tribute to him. But hopefully we wish him the best of luck. He's a young guy and he's pretty positive about being back on the field. But it just shows you can amateur anyone, any kind of health status, playing professionally in one of the top leagues in the world, and he's had this bad news.
Get yourself checked out. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, athletes, I mean, not to say you guys are fortunate, obviously not fortunate, but you have such great people and staff who are looking and checking.
Well, that's it.
Day.
I mean,
the rest of us don't have that.
Within 30 seconds of me feeling this lump on my nut, I phoned John Green, the physio. John, I felt this lump on my nut. What does it feel like? A lump.
Actually, you know what it was? Was it hard or soft?
I want to know that.
It was actually, to describe it, would be like you'd have to put a bunch of oil on an acorn, right? And is there, you're bringing the scrotum over your ball. It kind of had that acorn type, you know, on the top.
And it was clearly attached to your ball.
Yes.
Listen, if Ed is Wonga smoking, my name's not laughing, he's smoking. And good time in there, Wonga. So it was actually
real responsible.
It was clear that it was attached to the ball.
Yes.
It was like you couldn't get behind it or anything.
Just came out there.
Yeah. It was clearly attached. But it wasn't like. See, when Trevor Sinclair, when he went, his was more like a peppercorn bump that wasn't cancerous.
Yours was an acorn spike.
It was kind of just like, not a spike on the end, just sort of that around the hole. Like it wasn't that one third of it was.
Okay.
Wait a sec.
Abnormal.
Was it you or Trev who had BD?
BD. Oh, I would say that both of us had that. Just throwing it out there. I wouldn't want to speak for Trevor, but
I think a lot of guys fear what it might be, so they avoid it.
Oh yeah.
Whereas it can be many things, right? It can be calcification, it could be numerous things.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Cancer's only one thing it could be. So if you find something, get it fucking checked out.
Yeah, so I was there literally. So I think it was a Friday. So game was Saturday. We'll get it done after training on Monday. So I remember Harry coming out. It wasn't the best of days. Oh, actually, it was a nice day. But he goes, everybody's miserable. And Trevor, we're coming by. You know, we're keepers are working out, doing our thing. And the players are off doing their own thing on the other side of the training ground. He's like, all right, lads, when you come over here, like, fucking cheer these fucking bunch out. They're a bunch of miserable bastards this morning. Beautiful day. And I said, yeah, I'll do that, Harry. I said, you never know. This could be my last training session.
Is that what you
ever.
Said?
How did Harry react to that? What did he say? First time Harry's just...
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, boggle eye. It was like his eye was like going...
But gallows humor is important in the room, right? The boys?
For sure.
Right? I think it's quite important.
Yeah, no, I think Harry was laughing. And then so...
He didn't know, though. At this point, he didn't know.
No, I hadn't gone for the scan.
Yeah.
But Harry knew you were going for one, though. Must have not.
Yeah, he knew I was going for one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... Something like repeat it to the lads. So we were playing a five aside and everything else. Come on, you bastards. It could be my last string. And it was. It was my last training session.
Oh, it's fucking sad.
Did you win the small sided game?
Jesus.
I can't remember. It was a fucking great day, though.
Dude, you are one sad person.
It was a great day.
Because that didn't need to be your last training session.
No, it did not.
That's when Sportsnet came in with a deal.
That was another
story. Paying him more than EPL would pay someone back in those
and
days.
B is still worried about it.
More than the Serie A.
That's true.
B's going to keep going on about this $3,500 per
didn't
game.
We didn't do that. Yeah, exactly. We didn't do that many.
I think what's come out of it now, though, because there's a few more players that have had testicular cancer and beaten it as well. I think, did John Hartson have it as well, Craig?
Yeah.
He had so
well. Jason Cundy was at Ipswich with me,
and he got it. Yeah,
and he got it.
So you guys were basically the pioneers of just being more open. I think players had it before, but were too scared to announce it, or whether it was
Alan Stubbs
had it at Bolton. That's right, and Celtic. But now I think you guys, as I said, you were pioneers in the sense
awareness.
That. Making it more aware, but also making it more like a communication between your fellow teammates, your head coach. But for guys that are involved in professional sports, it might be a little bit easier than your average Joe who hasn't got the support or room of mates to talk it out.
You're showering with these guys. You got your balls out every day. You have no problem with somebody grabbing your nut to see
it's a little bit not. I wouldn't say easier, but
it is easier.
I think for the average Joe guy, like...
I don't know. It should be easier.
It should be easier, but...
Like, you're right. We grew up... I have two older brothers. We grew up naked and hanging out.
Sure.
Like, if you play sports... Right.
But men aren't as likely to go to the doctor.
Please, don't get naked.
Oh, it's like a camping trip, a horrible camping
trip. What if I have something, for Christ's sakes, and now I feel awkward getting naked in front of you because you dickheads.
Go to professionals and get screened.
I could be dead in a month because of you people now.
Yeah. Now more than ever, it's important to go and get
screened. Put him on that heel.
This could be his last podcast.
Not with your friends and attend.
Well, the odd guys are a little embarrassed. Did I tell you the story? Jimmy King. Have I told you the Jimmy King story? Yeah. He's coming, he's like in the dress room and he's for 3 or 4 days, he's turning to the corner and puts his shorts on and towel and da-da-da and wouldn't show his ass, wouldn't show anything. He'd be stuck in the corner and go and shower and do the same thing. And then eventually, it might have been Frankie. If you got a problem, if you got a small dick, just turn around. No, we don't care. But you just don't be shy. Like, it's okay. You turn around and fucking the thing was massive. Massive.
It was a tripod.
It was amazing. So, I remember.
It was amazing.
I remember when the
lads.
Well, you know what it goes, right? So, this is a youth, you know, this is a reserve youth, right? And then you got the first team. Lads are like, you got to come. You're coming with
me. You got to come and show us. You got to come and show the boys.
So, you drag Jimmy into the Jimmy King into the other dressing room and say, you know, man, this is a kid who's so embarrassed. And then they're just like, no, that. And the lads are like, what the fuck? And then the next thing is, so, Jimmy, we'll give you a couple hundred quid to get that hard.
Oh, my God.
I want to see how big it is. Oh, Jesus. Anyway.
Who's the priest or the scoutmaster yelling that out?
Oh, thick stuff that
this,
went
this
on.
This was not
man.
Cub Scouts, yippee-ki-yo, yippee-ki-yo, whatever your signal was.
Yeah. Oh,
just professional.
Can you imagine?
Football.
This is a stuff like I come out of Coquitlam and I'm just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like thrown into this fucking warfare. Like, just nuts, these people as well.
Have you ever heard the Paul Gascoigne story on Les Ferdinand when he talks kind of about a similar thing? You've got to listen to it on YouTube. It's on YouTube or...
I mean, I've heard this story. I don't know if I've ever heard him.
Oh, it's brilliant. I can't give the story the quality it deserves. So just listen for the Paul Gascoigne when he's playing for England and he changes with Les Ferdinand for the first time.
Oh.
And Gazza does it in the best expression ever.
I can imagine. Gazza. He jumped into our... communal hot tub. Every club has them. Most of them just filthy at each. So West Ham, Upton Park, massive. So you can, it's about the size of this tent. So you got to get guys in, you know, this hot tub
after the game. Yeah. Sweat
and there's no
mud.
Jets or anything. No, it's just a hot
hollow
ice bath. Now,
yeah, you jump in it, right?
Okay,
just filthy and
grass on the top. Like,
yeah.
Snot, you're like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sounds horrible. So why would you hang out in there?
I don't know.
So you let, cock sizes, obviously.
Sometimes that was your only choice.
A couple of beers.
So anyway, Gascoigne comes in. He was supposed to play at Middlesbrough, but he was hammered. So he didn't even, he just ended up drinking in the players' lounge. Last game of the season, he comes in, you know, it was Johnny Monks and a few of the other players. He's got his suit on and he just launches straight into this hot tub with us. Fully suited up. Tie floating on top of the water with all the grass and everything else. Yeah, I mean, just a lunatic.
What a legend.
Had to drive all the way back to Middlesbrough, and I don't know what he, you know.
We should probably call it quits. This has been one of the most diverse and let's call it versatile podcasts.
Diversity.
Yeah, versatile is a better term than diverse.
We've jumped around a few different topics, none of which were on my rundown.
No, none of which. What have we missed that was on the rundown?
That's
Ian Rush. He was 60. Ian Rush, 60 years old on the day we're recording. Yeah.
He's not.
Ian Rush, 60 years old.
60, that makes me feel old.
Legend.
Someone who was much like Ian Rush, striker. Turned 47 yesterday.
John Aldridge.
I don't know how
Danny
to say
Dicchio.
Bon compleanno.
Happy birthday, Deitch.
Happy birthday,
in Italy,
buddy.
Say Tanti auguri.
Punch in the face.
Tanti auguri a te.
Punch him in the face.
Pepperoni. Tanta guri, Daniele. Wow. That was really good.
Yeah,
we are a versatile and diverse podcast.
We certainly are.
When Dan's birthday, I want him to sing it in Chinese to me.
Can you sing in Chinese?
He's only 1/8 Chinese.
He knows Mandarin fluently.
Do you speak any Chinese?
No.
Like Mandarin, Cantonese, Chow Mein?
Just pick. No. Oh, no?
No, and I don't know why people use chopsticks instead of forks either.
That's so racist.
No, it's fine because he's a friend.
We were just debating what new ones to buy. Whether we go, do we go the metal Korean or do we get like proper wood in Japanese?
How cheap you are.
Japanese are the better ones, but there's
just
something about metal.
If you want to go to a French restaurant, he's got French in him. He's got Madagascar.
He's had him all in him at some point.
You're Madagascaran?
Yes.
He's got it. Honestly, his DNA is from everywhere. You can ask him.
23 and Wonger.
Are you talking footy picks there?
23.
Is that you trying to figure out?
I know footy
folks. Oh, you do?
Big games. I'm going to give it to you.
Well, let's get to it, show, because we've been going too long. We had a meeting yesterday saying we shouldn't go more than an hour anymore. Okay, done. Agreed. An hour and 11 minutes so far.
That's an 11-minute PSA. Go get checked out.
That's true.
Touch your friend's balls. Make sure everyone's good.
Touch your friend's
balls. I feel as though...
You don't have to touch your friend's balls, but touch your own balls. And if you think your girlfriend needs to say, hey, does this feel like a little abnormal? Or
your boyfriend, if you have one. We are an inclusive podcast.
Yeah, you're right, Danny.
See, with John Hartson, he let it go, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. He didn't, and then it went into
He got lucky at the end, huh?
He got lucky, yeah.
Did it go to his brain?
Yeah.
It did, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same as Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, but not to, you know, dismiss it, but brain cancer from testicular cancer. It's not like it's still testicular cancer in your
correct.
Brain.
Correct. Right? That's where people. Oh my God, he's got brain cancer. It's like, well, no, he's got brain cancer, but it's testicular cancer.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, it's not smoking lung cancer. It's testicular cancer.
That's the pathway.
Yeah, and this is why there's quite a success rate, you know. But then there's the young lad at West Ham, like that. If I should remember his name, is a Greek last name, Australian boy, he didn't make it. So, youth player at West Ham a few years ago.
I kind of get the feeling that Lance Armstrong kind of sold that I had brain cancer and lung cancer and testicular cancer and I got through it.
Well, he did. I mean, he had tumors taken out of his head.
I know. I just lost some germs.
I mean, it's not great. I mean,
no, it's not great. It's
he lied about
thing.
Being clean. He must have lied about having
but
the
But his ball was the size of a grapefruit.
Charms,
he
is,
went
he,
to get
is he that
out.
Guy you want to punch in the face?
Lance?
Close.
Oh, you know what?
Close. Yeah, not bad. Could yeah. be a worse call, couldn't it?
Close.
I tell you what, he would be up there. He is an 18-carat asshole for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know, before all that came out, going back, so when I got it, everybody's like, oh, you should read his first book, I think. It's not about the bike, or it's more about the bike or something like that. So, you know.
Great book, by the way.
Going through the... Yeah.
It was a great book.
But
Derail My Life?
But when you get through it, read it, you can kind of tell that it just... I just always like, you know what? You can tell there's something off. I didn't... Not likable about this guy.
All right, boys and girls, it's time for.
Can I just paint the?
Oh Jesus!
Sorry,
have you not seen the rundown?
I've not seen the rundown.
It's 40 pigs. It's 40 pigs. It's 40 pigs on 40 pounds.
Greg Forrest, part of the new singing team.
I just want
to we'll get to your question in a minute.
Sorry, did you want to say something?
No, it's been too long since we've been together, so I forgot that musical interlude was going to happen. I thought Elena was the only one that sung on this show.
No.
Well, we wish she was, but she's not always available.
No, not always.
We can't afford her. She's on $3,500 a show.
I'm sure she is. And so she should be. She's Premier League.
That's where out the zone money's gone.
yeah, exactly.
Hope you like the song, everyone.
Christ, you can measure what they're getting now.
All right, off the top, boys and girls, it's a big one this Sunday. Or is it a big one? Maybe it's a rout. Liverpool, Manchester United, Craig.
Ooh. At Liverpool?
I'll tell you that in a second when my eyes adjust to my phone.
Yeah, what I was going to say was, I was just going to describe, it's at Old Trafford. What I was going to describe was what happened to get to that point where Wonger passed his phone along and Sharman holds it out 18 feet in front of his face, then hands it back. And Wonger says, "You sure you got that?" He's like, "Yeah, I got it." And then he opens his phone, which is on microscope mode, and he can look at the fucking numbers, but you couldn't even get it up quick enough.
Large text.
So there you are, United Liverpool at Old Trafford.
Yeah. Okay, Craig, what do you got?
All that you said transparency. You said, "Dunny, we're a transparent operation." That's what I'm being.
No, a trans operation.
I'm actually
all inclusive.
Dave Chappelle.
People would think I was anti-Man United, but I boldly pulls it off.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Why? Because he's likable?
Yeah, he is likable.
Because he has Ronaldo. That's why he's going to pull it off.
How much has he aged in the last 2 years, guys?
10 years. 10.
He's more shriveled, doesn't he?
He's not
like
that.
Wayne Rooney.
Oh,
yeah.
Eh?
But at least Rooney's
retired to 60 in about a year.
Living in a caravan.
All he's got that David Moyes like jaundice hue all of a sudden. Yeah.
That's
he didn't
a
have
great
it
way of putting it. That's exactly what he's got.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has the jaundice hue.
Hey, by the way,
he's got the Moyes.
Did you guys watch the Fury fight?
Yeah. I went to thanks to Deitch.
Yes, sir.
Message in the third round of the WhatsApp group.
He is something else.
He's one of the greats.
He is something else.
So I said jaundice, and that made you think of Tyson Fury?
Yep.
No,
the Gypsy King.
How much you think?
I don't know what it was. A few things
at Old Trafford.
Yeah,
you think United are going to win?
Yes, 2-1.
I kind of thought that as well.
Why? What evidence?
I don't know. Like, I just feel Liverpool are going to smash them, but then Ole will pull something out of his backside and they win.
Liverpool got away with one.
I was actually going by your advice. You said, "Oh, he's." God, horseshoes.
Yeah, well
there that. You go.
He's one of those guys that when the pressure mounts, it seems to get a big result. You know those managers that the pressure
yeah,
mounts?
Yeah, there's been a few times he's been kind of lingering around.
Mourinho is famous for it.
They were so bad today. So bad. Like, Atalanta played really well, 2-0 up. Then their star defender, central guy, got injured. They brought a young guy on and he struggled badly.
Fabrizio Micheli.
And they're not winning it, but no. All right, you're going United. I'll go Liverpool 4-1.
4-1.
That's the right.
Jesus,
goal.
What?
No, I think Liverpool got away with one midweek in the Champions League.
Well, yeah, being up 2-0. I mean,
yeah. No, I think that.
Are you saying that wasn't a red card?
Look, in the moment, of course it was a red card.
I've been sent off for a lot less than that, Danny.
I understand that, but did you see Ibra for your beloved Milan not being sent off?
Yeah, he didn't really touch him, did he?
Doesn't make it right.
I mean, didn't really touch him.
We're talking about Griezmann.
Yeah, but we're talking about serial violent conduct, right? And so the referee sees that.
No need to talk about my game like that.
The referee sees Griezmann and says, you nearly killed a man. You almost bone-sawed him in an embassy. I can't have you on the field, and sends him off. And then Ibra, who's looking at the man, who has a black belt in karate, who like sidekicks him in the face, and he barely got a yellow because the referee's terrified of Ibra.
So that's wrong call.
But I could understand the art. Like, Simeone and Suarez were livid that he was sent off.
Well, in that case.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, makes okay. It absolutely right.
That's like saying, you know,
based on the rule book, boys. Based on the rule book, boys.
Didn't he go down like a sack of crap when the Beckham gave him the old little?
Yeah, I understand.
Absolutely. It's like saying Marilyn Manson was really upset with
and Charles Manson.
And
too.
Charles Manson.
It's the chemistry. It's the chemistry.
I was
going to
say Marilyn Manson with his records.
With Heather Tate.
Yeah.
Two one Liverpool.
2-1
Liverpool.
And by the way, it's a clear red card, Griezmann. Jesus Christ, reckless.
It's too much for Dan. We got to finish this. It's too much.
All right. What's next? Okay, good one. Brentford, Leicester. Start with you, B. Leicester, of course, coming off a big win, looking more like themselves. And Brentford, well, unfortunate against Chelsea, were denied by Mendy.
Honestly, I love Ivan Tony. I've been texting the group. I'd love to sit and watch a Brentford match with you just to focus on him and your reaction. To me, he's must-watch TV. But I love what he does off the ball. So, honestly, at home, I back them in every game for a result. So, we'll go 1-1.
All right.
Is that Leicester or Brentford?
It's at Brentford.
Dan, you fancy your team at home?
Yeah, your bees. That would be yes.
Leicester won today. Like, they scored 4 today somewhere.
They had a Europa League game today.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know why that was, because Russia can't play games on Thursdays.
It's weird.
Yes, it's the...
I got it. It's going to be
a Russian holiday?
No, yeah, it's a Gorbachev day.
Okay.
I have no idea.
You could have made
some. The one Russian I can think of is Gorbachev.
I was waiting for some Crimean joke, but...
I think 1-1's a good goal. Good call.
No, I fancy Brentford here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put it in the mixer. They get right stuck into them. Really, they put set pieces. Go on, Brentford. 2-1. Brentford.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to stick on DJ. I'm going to Dido that.
Dido.
All right. Final one. West Ham Spurs.
Oh, that's an easy one. 2-1 Hammers.
2-1
Hammers. West Ham play tomorrow and Spurs play tomorrow.
Yeah, but Spurs are playing in the Ontario Division 1 Championship.
Okay. At West Ham, at the Mickey Mouse Millennial Ground.
Yep. Which is creating its own history. So this
West Ham, 2-0.
Yes. Mickey Mouse Deej, Millennial Ground. I can't believe you did that. That's awesome.
Mickey Mouse, yeah. I hate that ground.
Millwall.
I hate that ground. I hate that Millennial Ground.
Stratford.
Is, Olympic Stadium from... Millwall's ground now.
I don't know, because it was near Charlton, wasn't it? The Olympic Stadium. So I'm not sure. It wasn't built when I was at Millwall.
Stratford. You know where it is, right? On the
yes. Stratford.
Stratford there. Yeah. Right. There's a big mall complex.
I thought you knew London well enough to know.
I don't like over the other side of the River South. It's another part of the world that I don't like.
All right, hurry up. Give us a score, because I'm dying for a piss.
I said West Ham, 2-0.
2-0. 2-1. You said
2-1, didn't you?
I said, no, that was Brentford.
Oh.
So it's my turn. It's my turn, producer Walter.
I said 2-1, like 5
minutes. Crazy 2-1. Yeah, yeah.
Right. You guys are so far behind.
So I'm going Spurs. Yeah. So West Ham 0, Spurs 1.
West Ham 0, Spurs 1.
So West Ham's at home.
All right.
I Vidi printed it.
Mr. Contrarian.
I read it correctly.
Guys, are we ending the show here?
Yeah.
All right. Because I've got to go soon. But I just want to congratulate Danny, because he's going to whole fucking podcast without mentioning Cristiano Ronaldo.
Wait a second. I thought we're done already. I'm pretty sure I did say when he was talking about horseshoe that he's been called a lot of things, but Ronaldo's never been called a horseshoe.
No, you didn't mention his name.
Oh.
Shakermaker 3000 is happy. Who was it? Shakermaker?
Crushinator.
Crushinator. Yeah.
She sent us a message, by the way. We'll play it on the next show.
That's right. Yeah, that's amazing. Actually,
where is she from?
She was in Portugal when she sent the message, but I don't know if she lives in Portugal. Oh, she sounds Canadian.
All right, cool. Well, thank you, Crushinator.
Yeah.
And apologies for not talking about Ronaldo. I know you actually love that.
Or knowing whether you are in Canada or you live in Portugal.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But thank you for listening. On the show.
Well, on the show. When we establish a setup where we're doing guests, live guests.
Yes, when we do that.
Yes, like tomorrow, for example.
With
Victor Montagliani.
Yeah, but we probably won't edit it for 3 weeks, so why tell them about it?
No, we'll edit quick.
All right, I've stood up because at this point I have to because of my bladder. So thanks, fellas.
It's getting a little weak.
Oh, very weak.
Don't worry. If you let it go now, it'll take 5 minutes before it starts.
Let him end the show.
Thank you to the tent and no one else. Bye.